Tony and Mad Max. We are live here on WSJU Radio, as well as the YouTube channel, Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max, of course. Tony Bavena, how are you doing today?
Really good. How's your Thursday?
Yep.
Really good?
Pretty good. It's going all right. I mean, despite everything going on this week, especially with the losses in football for both of the New York football teams.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely get to that. But you had that story about the overpopulating hogs over Texas.
You saw that, right? I sent the article to you. Apparently, there's millions of them.
In what state? Is that Texas?
Yeah, and it's all over Northern America and Canada, North America and Canada.
What are they? Just like.
They're just like wild. Hugs? They're called super pigs. They're literally killing people, apparently. They'll trap you in your house and kill you.
Oh, my goodness. And they reproduce.
They reproduce at like 3 months old or something.
That's insane. That's really, like, I mean, what else do you really expect?
I don't know. I think the world's coming to an end.
Well, with what's happening right now, it's certainly close to being like a really ugly situation.
COVID.
So Louisville is getting burned to the ground.
Yeah.
Like the police are just at war. Like we're basically like at war in within our own country.
Pretty much.
This, like, have you talked to anybody in like the station about like this stuff, man?
I haven't, but it's pretty insane.
Because this is just insane.
The fact that the officers weren't charged with murder is disgusting, in my opinion.
Well, there was a charge,
but it wasn't wanted, murder.
Wanton endangerment, shooting at like the neighbor's wall.
Yeah.
The neighbors play the house, the wall to the house next door.
Hold on. It's like muffled a little bit.
You got me?
Good.
Yeah, like cop was charged with wanton endangerment, just shooting a gun at the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Or something like that. No murder. This is really crazy stuff. And now that, you know, we have an open Supreme Court justice seat open, this close to an election, I'm telling you, man, I told you this 3 years ago. It's come – because what's
– Civil War.
Because really, like, what else needs to happen? What other drastic, devastating event needs to occur?
Like, the election.
I think that's it. I think that if Donald is reelected, man, I think it's freaking go time. I think it's 0 hour at that point.
Oh, man.
Because at that point, I just wouldn't know what would happen.
Even it's going to be like the purge.
If he lost the election, I wouldn't know what would happen. He came out last night and said that he wouldn't completely commit to a peaceful transition if he lost. And that's why he's trying to get the Supreme Court seat in before the election, is because if he loses, he could send a freaking cheating scandal case up to the Supreme Court. And considering that they're all pretty much conservative cronies of his, they'll freaking agree to it.
Yeah, I know.
And then all hell will break loose. Like, you got to read between the lines and how things connect. And then Mitt Romney, who you thought was one of the good-minded Republican people that are honestly left in Congress.
Yeah, he's a snake.
He basically said that he would agree to have the Senate push for a vote for the Supreme Court before the election.
He wasn't going to block it.
Now Trump is supposed to reveal who his nominee is on Saturday. I don't know who it is. Apparently, he's leaning towards a woman. But, yeah. I mean,
I've heard
whoever
that.
It is, whoever it is, man, is like probably like a freaking like neo-Nazi or something like that.
You know that. You know that already.
Yeah. Dude, it's coming, dude. I mean,
you've been saying it for 3 years now. You said 2020. Yeah. I remember it on our fourth episode. You said 2020. That's scary.
And you guys were like laughing. It's like, dude, like, this is not normal times. And like, damn, a pandemic, police violence, racial tension, the death of one of the most prominent Supreme Court justices, probably one of the most prominent female figures of all in American history.
Yep.
And like, oh my God. And probably one of the most pivotal elections, probably the biggest election in like they're saying human history. What else? Freaking killer pigs.
And anyways, have hurricanes all over the place.
Oh my God. Poor Louisiana got wrecked. Wildfires over in California, dude. You know, the sun, if you notice the sun, even over here, it's like, yeah, it's like freaking like, it's like orange.
Yeah.
That's from the air quality from the fires out west. If you look at a aerial view, like from like space down into like the United States, you could see like smoke, like covering that region.
And how about when Trump was at that meeting, he said, it's going to cool down.
It's going to cool down. Because he doesn't care, because number one, it's California. It's all Democratic states. He does. If he found out that California like burned to a crisp,
he wouldn't care.
He wouldn't. He'd probably laugh hysterically.
Yeah, he would.
He doesn't care. Like about them.
No, not at all.
My God, so much. But at least we have sports.
Yeah, I know.
Oh wait, that's probably worse.
Yeah. The New York Jets. I think we should start with them. Let's start with this disgraceful New York Jets team. Adam Gase completely giving up again.
I couldn't, dude. Like you were texting me on that Sunday. I didn't watch the game. When I found out that a bunch of 49er players were going down with big injuries, freaking Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas going down with big time injuries. They just lost Tevin Coleman this week to IR. Jimmy Garoppolo was playing the second quarter on one leg. You would have figured that they would have at least put up some sort of fight, and it never came. It never came.
Nope.
They have no Bell, no Jameson Crowder. They just lost Rashad Perriman. They lost Connor McGovern.
And Blake Cashman.
Him anyway. They lost Blake Cashman. They God knows they needed him. Like there's really nothing. The only redeemable aspects of the Jet team right now are Mekhi Becton, Quinnen Williams,
who and honestly Frank Gore.
And Frank Gore and Marcus May. Now Quinnen Williams, if you looked at his stats from week two,
he had a good week.
Two sacks. Four tackles for losses. I mean, if he can give us that, then I'm fine. But it took him like, dude, it took him one season and like two games to get to the point where we can actually notice him.
If I had to take a guess, this is a fluke.
Really? Well,
yeah.
Because you're like the freaking pessimistic Jeff. You think that Darnold is going to throw like four picks on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, he probably will.
I mean, I don't know how good the Colts defense is. I'm not too keen on how their team is. All I know is that T.Y. Hilton, who's he going up against? Pierre Desir?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a burn show.
Who's the other corner? Bradley McDougal?
Yeah. No, he's the safety. It's Bless Austin.
Bless Austin. Oh, my God. Well, they'll probably put Bless Austin on him. Might as well. Everybody was going crazy about Pierre getting that interception last week.
And it just landed in his hands.
Off a quarterback that was on, like, one leg. I don't know, man. Actually, was it Garoppolo that threw that, or was that a C.J. Beathard?
Mullins.
Who?
It was Mullins.
Oh, Mullins, the backup. I was going to say, like, if Garoppolo was taken out at what, halftime?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that interception came in the second half.
How about that third and 31? That third and 31. And they and the freaking Niners ran a 55-yard run.
And I'm telling you, Jonathan Stewart of the Colts, why can't he do that next week? Not next week, this upcoming Sunday.
He'll do it.
Do the exact same thing. Now, the Jets' run defense, I have pretty good confidence in that. Can they stick? Can they stop the run? It's the passing game that scares me. I mean, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman, like guys like that, they'll be running up and down the field. Jack Doyle, the tight end as well. They can barely block tight ends. This is just not a good situation.
You said they can go 2-14.
There's a shot. I looked at the schedule, man, today, and like they're going to Indianapolis. Then they have a short turnaround game on a Thursday night.
Against Denver,
who they just signed Blake Bortles off the freaking unemployment line. And you know how you know motivated he's gonna be because he wants to, you know, prove himself back in the league. A short Thursday night game. God knows what Adam Gase's play calling is going to be in that game, how he's going to prep this team. They can't even prep the team for a regular Sunday. How about a short turnaround on a Thursday?
Avery Williamson and Bradley McDougal, they're complaining about the slow practices they have, the slow starts. The practices are no good. That's Gase.
I'll get to that a little bit about, like, the practices. They play the Broncos. Then the week after that, they play the Cardinals. They play Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Like, that's not good either. And then after that, I believe they play the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They go to LA. And then I think after that, they play the Bills at home. And then they go to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs.
Where's the wins coming from? Where are these wins coming from?
I think the closest thing to a win you may see is maybe from Denver and maybe the Colts, because the Colts are really nothing special. I mean, they did beat the Vikings last week, but who am I to say that? Because those same teams could look at the Jets and say, that's an easy win. Blake Bortles will be saying, well, we could definitely beat the Jets. You kidding me? On the road, we don't even care. We don't care. We'll beat them anywhere.
I'm telling you, we're not winning any games in the near future. I think they could go 0-16. People have said they're the worst team in the NFL. They could.
That's hard. I'm going to tell you why. Because eventually you are going to get Le'Veon back. You're going to get Crowder back. And Perriman, and you would figure that they would squeeze out a win. I mean, in the final weeks of the year, they play the Rams. They go to LA.
They play Rams, Seattle.
The Rams on the special. Well, that's going to be fun. And then the week after, and then week 16, they're at home against the Browns. Now you have to understand, there could be different circumstances going into those games in the final weeks. Are the Browns playing for a playoff spot? Are the Jets, you know, playing for the first overall pick?
For like, Trevor Lawrence?
Or if you have for Trevor Lawrence, or possibly to trade the pick down? Like, we have to see. Like, I think that they could win those games at the end of the year. And who knows? We may have a different coach. Darnold could be benched. We don't know what players coming out. So 0-16 is a really, really hard take for a team that does have some talent.
If they lose this game on Sunday, Pavetta, I think all your faith, my faith is gone already. It's been gone since we hired Gaze and for years now.
I think it's been gone for many, many years.
If they lose this game on Sunday, do you lose faith in the whole season?
If they lose on Sunday? Well, if they lose on Sunday, I wouldn't be surprised. I would kind of just be, like, indifferent. I would just be like, yeah, like, they weren't going to beat the Colts. Now, if you lose to the Broncos and start out and go 0-4, that's bad. Because, I mean, that kind of is, like, your really winnable game. Except for, like, the game against the Rams in Week 15.
You got to play the Dolphins twice. You still got to play the Bills. It's the Seahawks and the Chiefs.
Seahawks and the Chiefs, and you're playing the Raiders at home. The Raiders, who actually have found a newfound confidence in Gruden and Derek Carr. They're not playing the Raiders here, and I was at that game that the Jets won. It's a different Raider team. Las Vegas Raiders, man, they are motivated. This is this is scary stuff. This is scary. You know, like the last time the Jets, I think, were really, really bad, like 1-15, was Kotite.
And that was Kotite
before Bill Parcells. And that was Parcells and Testaverde years and, you know, and then we moved on into the 21st century. But Adam Gase is contending with Richie Kotite, man. He is definitely going side by side with Richie in terms of horrible coaching, horrible preparation, and just complete brainwashing of an entire organization. And it's guys like Avery Williamson and Bradley McDougal who are kind of going against the grain because as you said, they came out and said that their practice is horrible. And it's weird because Sam Darnold is coming out and saying that Gase is calling the right plays. He's a great coach. You should have faith in him. It's brainwashing.
Yes.
But Williamson and McDougal aren't playing that crap, man. They're not.
Darnold's got to go with him out the door. He's sticking up for him. He's got to go right out the door with him.
I'm not that quick to pull the plug on Sam, man. You can't.
I hate Sam.
Not until these guys come back. You are looking at a situation where you may have to go into the practice squad and find guys like Lawrence Cager, Josh Malone, Dante Moncrief, like guys like that to come in and step up. Now I would like to see Dante Moncrief see what he can do.
Yeah.
But it's looking bad, man. It's looking bad. And when your practices are going bad, first off, why are these players coming out and saying that in public? That's another indictment.
It's just practice. You never even hear anything. You never hear anything about the practices. I don't think I've ever heard someone complain about the practices before.
Except for Allen Iverson.
Yeah, but with the Sixers. That's
a different reason. But why are players coming out vocally on those sort of things?
I don't know.
The coach control?
It's got to be the coaching. They're not.
It is the coach.
They're not achieving what they want to achieve in these practices. These players have goals, and they have an idea. Especially McDougal just came from one of the best teams in the league.
Yep, a different culture.
And this is the argument I tell you every week, Pavetta. This is not a professional football team. They're not on the professional level. They're a Pop Warner team at best.
I mean, I really can't argue with you on that. The effort that they displayed in Week 2 against the Niners just completely shows it. And, like, I don't want to hear about Darnold making, like, oh, like he had, like, that great.
Oh, that
like,
that when he escaped great touchdown. The sack, yeah, and through the Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, in friggin' garbage time. Team was down by three scores. I mean, give me a break. Give me a break.
People were loving up that play on Twitter. They're like, oh, look at this play.
please.
Where was he the whole game?
Please. Where was he the whole exactly? Where was right? he the whole game? And why couldn't he find that receiver in the three previous quarters of the game?
Berrios.
Who caught the pass? Braxton Berrios. But where was he in the first three quarters?
Chris Herndon's turning out to be a bust.
Oh, he is. And that's a real shame because Jeff fans really, really like the guy. They really like the guy. But you know what? You got Ryan Griffin.
Where is he?
Why?
Where's Ryan Griffin?
The coach refuses to do a two tight end set. And why? Oh, because Ryan Griffin can't block. Who cares? He makes plays. He can catch the ball. He can gain yards. I mean, come on.
This guy was catching all sorts of touchdowns last year.
Blocking is the least of the troubles in this team. It's one of the troubles, but it's like the it's not a major thing.
I don't want to see anything with this offensive line anymore. I'm sick of it. Let's get some receivers. I want ball players. Number one targets. We need pass rushers.
You want skill positions.
Yes, I want skill positions.
I mean, I agree, but you got to figure about – but you have to understand the MO of Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas came in here and said that he wants to build a stout offensive line, build through the O-line.
And that's not working out at all in these first two games. Terrible.
It really hasn't. And to be honest, like the signings that he's made, like Connor McGovern, Kyle Van Rotten.
Greg Van Rotten.
Greg Van Rotten. I keep on thinking of Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
Totally different player. Greg Van Rotten. Freaking just garbage. Alex Lewis, garbage. Oh my. And then he brings in Alec Ogletree.
From the Giants off of waivers.
To be put in and start at outside linebacker. Like, what? And Ogletree just did nothing. In fact, I think he was a big reason for why they were giving up all those big yards.
How about that opening? Yeah. All that mattered was that opening drive. As soon as they scored that touchdown right out the gate.
That 80-yard touchdown, man. Like, that's like your secondary. Where are you?
It set the precedent for the game. That was it. They were losing it. You knew it.
Third and 31. Where's the defense?
Third and 31. You realize that was actually record breaking?
What, for being like the longest conversion on a third down?
Yeah.
Yep. In like history?
Yeah, I believe so.
Really? Not surprised. Of course, it happened to the Jets. Of course, it happened. And what's scary about that 80-yard touchdown to open up the game? Mostrat was the Monstrat?
Oh yeah, what's his name? Mostert? Hold on. Let me look it up. He plays for the Niners. I always get his last name messed up.
Yeah, well, whoever he is, I think it's Mostrat. Yeah, he wasn't touched.
Nope, he did it in the previous week against the Cardinals. Let's look at these rosters.
That's some nice creativity from Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
Can't find that with Gase.
There's no creativity with Gase. Mostert? Yeah.
How do you spell their last name?
Mostert.
Yeah, Mostert. Exactly. And there's
and
no
he's
room
in, and he got injured too.
He did. Like the Niners, I mean, they're absolutely devastated right now.
Terrible.
Absolutely devastated, but
they lost all their best players against the Jets. Think about that.
And they still won. They still won by a big number. They still won. They just got 31 points. What a disgrace. And you know what? You can cancel out creativity. How can you introduce creativity into your offense when your practices are not going up to speed?
And the players are complaining about that's all coaching.
Coaching is all about inspiration and getting guys ready, getting them pumped. When you have your own players coming out and talking trash about how they're going in practice, you're going to have some unmotivated players during the actual game. Why would any of these guys care? I'm telling you, man, like last year, players came out and defended Gase the whole way through. Even when they were 1-7 and they went on that run of winning the last six of their eight games, they stuck by him. Darnold, Bell, Crowder, Griffin. I don't know about Jamal Adams. I mean, maybe he was saying it, you know, just to like disguise, keep a good face. But for the most part, the team was behind Gase. Now I think that spirit is gone.
Changed.
I think it's gone. Because how can you come to a game every Sunday or in the next 2 weeks on a Thursday and really want to play hard for this guy? He's not somebody that you can root for. Pretty much 95% of Jet Nation despises him. And 95 is actually probably an understatement. I think everybody hates him.
Yeah. I don't think – did they hate Bowles this much?
No. There were some people that honestly liked Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles was a very silent type, and he kind of came off as, like, complacent. And, like, don't forget, like, Darnold came. Darnold's first year was Bowles' last year. So Bowles didn't really have, like a good young quarterback. Did he have Geno? I don't think he did. I think for, like, his – no. His first year was Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And then Fitzpatrick led to Josh McCown. And then last year was Darnold. Yeah.
Think about all these quarterbacks. Josh McCown.
How about good old Bryce Petty?
Oh, bro. How about this one? Christian Hackenberg.
Hackenberg. A second round pick from Penn State. And I love Penn State, but like that was not good. But back to, like, Bowles, like, people didn't really have, like, a reason to hate Bowles. He just wasn't a good coach. He's a coordinator. Adam Gase is just an all-around horrific coach. He's not a leader of men. He's an agitator. He comes off as bitter every time you try to talk to him. His play calling is atrocious. And I think that he is like a really good like con man. He's like Donald Trump. He really is. He is the con man.
He
sold the bill of goods to Christopher Johnson. I think he brainwashed the quarterback. And when you brainwash the quarterback, then all the other players follow suit because the quarterback is the leader of the team. He's the commander in chief, the quarterback.
Remember what Christopher Johnson said, full confidence.
Full confidence. And to be honest, don't expect much change from that statement, man. Don't expect it. Chris Johnson could easily come out and say, well, you know, we're missing our most expensive player. And Mosley's not here. Jamal's not here. We don't have the talent, but the head coach is doing all he can. What a joke! The only bright spot I honestly have on this team is really Joe Douglas, because Joe Douglas has a 6-year contract, and I told you this last. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. Or maybe no, it was last week. I said Joe Douglas could care less about if Sam Darnold is the franchise quarterback or isn't. Because guess what? Even if his team is bad, he'll draft Trevor Lawrence like that if he needs to. Because if he's given the pick, he'll do it. He's here for 6 years. The man has protection. And I don't think Joe has done anything really detrimental. I mean, some of his free agent signings haven't really panned out. But he hasn't, like, embarrassed the organization. He's not John Idzik.
Idzik was that guy.
Idzik was horrible. But Idzik was bad, not just from the free agent side, but his drafting was absolutely abysmal. The guy that, like, Jason Morrow, Calvin Pryor, D. Milliner, like, guys like that, they were garbage. And, like, Joe Douglas really hasn't done that yet.
There hasn't been anyone to pan out in this draft. Becton a little bit, but besides that, where is everyone?
Well, they're all injured. And that could be considered an indictment on Douglas a little bit. I think so.
Could be.
But I don't know, man. Like, do you think that they'll beat the Colts on Sunday?
Nope. You know that already. I'm the pessimist.
Not what happens if they do beat the Colts.
Let's see how they perform Thursday against the Broncos.
Let's see how they perform.
Because now, it's going to be a short week.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Short turnaround. And with the way that practices are going on for a full week, how are they going to be during a short week?
You know, if they lose on Sunday, it's a guarantee they lose on Thursday.
I don't know. Dude, the Broncos are not good. They're not good. Von Miller's gone. Drew Lock is injured. Like, I don't even know who's even on the team anymore. Like, I personally don't even know.
I don't either. I haven't been tuned into the Broncos. I only pay attention really mainly to the New York teams.
Yeah.
Because we're here. We're from the tri-state. So, of course, we're going to pay attention to what the Jets and Giants are doing.
Man, oh, man. But, like, I don't know. Adam Gase is running through hellfire right now. And, like, this is one of the worst stretches of history.
Yep. Right now. Past 10 years, they haven't made the playoffs. We're going on 11 years.
Got that right.
11 years.
Uh-huh. Bad, oh, bad. But what other topic did you want to, like, discuss?
The Giants, are they beating the 49ers this Sunday?
I think they could. Listen, they just signed Devontae Freeman, who's going to be starting at running back now that Saquon is out. Now, I hope he gets a full recovery. My God. Yeah. That second overall pick by Gettleman. Eesh. I don't know, man. I don't know. This kid has missed 2 years worth of injuries. Last year he was hurt. This year he's done for the year after week two. I mean, the kid won the rookie of the year. The kid won the rookie of the year. They're saying that he's bound for Canton one day. I mean, who knows, dude? Who freaking knows? All I know is that he's out, and the Giants are a little bit shorthanded now because not only is he on IR done for the year, but Sterling Shepard just went on IR a couple days ago. So they're missing him for Sunday. But you still have Darius Slayton. You still have Evan Ingram.
Golden Tate.
You still have Golden Tate. And you have Devontae Freeman in there. So can Daniel Jones do something against a 49er team that really is just destroyed? You're missing, like,
everyone. Houston and
Thomas are gone. Garoppolo ain't starting.
Kittle's not playing.
George, he's not. He's out.
I'm pretty sure he still is.
I think I heard that he was going to be active for Sunday.
He's going to be back. Okay, we'll see what happens game time. But
and Tevin Coleman is on IR, dude. I think if the Giant defense could just play decent, and Jones doesn't mess up, meaning protects the ball, I think they could win. I think they absolutely could. And if they do, I mean, dude, have you noticed that the NFC East is not that good this year?
I've noticed it. The Cowboys, it was a miracle they came back and beat the Falcons. The Falcons were blowing them. What a clown team. They always go up by all these points, and they always blow their lead. Yeah.
Bad. So the Cowboys have the best record in the division at 1-1. All the other
Eagles lost.
Who?
Last week.
The Eagles are 0-2, and the Washington football team is 1-1.
The Washington football team.
Yep. And the Giants are and the Giants are 0-2. So if they could win, and then let's say Washington and Dallas lose 1-2, they're both tied. Then you could really start looking at stuff here, but it's all about consistency. They're not looking for playoffs. They're looking for development. But all I'm saying is that if you do put on good performances and you could win games, you maybe could sneak into the playoffs or maybe actually contend for a spot, and that would be huge for this franchise. Huge.
Yep.
First time competing for anything meaningful since in 4 years. And with a young quarterback, it's really, really vital. Something that Sam Darnold has not had yet, competing for an actual playoff spot. And God knows when he'll ever feel that in his career.
When he's on another team.
Could be the case. Oh, and here's a little side note. Joe Flacco got cleared for full team practice.
We may see him soon.
He's in the wing. He's in the wing.
We're going to see him soon.
Jets fans, he is in the wing. He is breathing down Sam's neck now. He's right there. That's a veteran quarterback. I don't know what the measures would have to be for Darnold to honestly be pulled. That would be such a bad luck.
They literally have to be 0-5, and he's got to be playing terrible.
I think you're right. 0-5, playing terrible, and you know what? I think that Gase would have to be fired.
You know it's not going to happen.
I want to believe it. I really want to believe it. But you're ready to wrap this up, man?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Do you want to go first?
Socials. So my Instagram is at TANOOCH96. Once again, at TANOOCH96.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Real Max, TheReelMax. Once again, The Real Max, TheReelMax. You could check out all of our previous episodes on my website, maxrcoughlin.com, maxrcoughlin.com, under shows, conspiracies, crimes, and curses, in which it's changed to Tony and Mad Max. See all of our previous episodes. We are on usually 2:30 on Thursdays, 2:30 p.m. Make sure you tune in to WSU Radio as well. And yeah, we'll be back next week. And anything else, Pavena?
Thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your week and into the weekend, and we'll see you next time. So long, guys.